You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Research released yesterday showed that there is a big pay gap between Pacifica and non-Pacifica in New Zealand, and most of it can't be explained even after accounting for things like differences in occupation and educational achievement. The research, conducted by AUT and published by the Human Rights Commission, was the first time the pay gap had been looked at closely in terms of ethnicity, and the findings were dismal. For every dollar a Pākehā man earns, a Pākehā woman earns 89 cents, a Pacifica man 81 cents, and a Pacifica woman earns 75 cents. This is according to non-profit organisation Mind the Gap. I spoke with Mind the Gap founder Joe Cribb about this concerning new data.
So when we look at this piece of research that's just come out, and it's a fantastic piece of analysis, what it says is it uses a statistical tool that looks at how much of a gap you can attribute to characteristics. And it found, and those characteristics are the ones that we can kind of measure, like educational, highest education qualification, industry you're working in, whether you're a part-time or a contractor, what level of an organisation you're in, if you're in a management layer or not. So all those kind of characteristics. And what it did was found out that for Pacifica males, only about 27% of the pay gap can be justified by those characteristics. Now, that means there's 73% of the gap, and this is it, we're talking money, this is people's, what goes in people's pockets that can't be explained by those kind of characteristics. And, sure, there's some things that we can't measure, like intangible choices and maybe those kind of things, but we also know that a lot of what we can't measure is the behaviour and the choices that are happening in the workplace. And we know from all the other research that these are things like unconscious bias and discrimination. So that thousands and thousands and thousands of families in Aotearoa, New Zealand, Pacifica families have less money to take home. And nearly all of it is by factors that are sort of intangible and happening in the workplace. I don't know, it's 2022. It just feels absolutely unacceptable.
So the gaps are high, but the fact that the numbers are being reported is a really good first step, though.
Yeah, well, the fantastic thing is that we've got this research that really starts to show and break down again some of the myths. So we often think that, say, Pacifica workers are paid less because they're all often have a lower skills and they're in lower skilled jobs. But what this research is saying is, regardless of that, they're still going to get paid less. So regardless of their educational achievement, or regardless of the occupation or industry or those choices, they're still going to get paid less because there's this unexplained, unconscious bias, discriminations and processes happening in our workplace. So that we know that, and we can then we can actually start to front it up and start to be really honest about it. The pay gap, we probably used to, and particularly with women, we used to go, well, it's because women are less qualified, and we used to go, it's because women work part-time, and because women have the childcare responsibilities and don't want big jobs. We used to be able to write off and justify the pay gap, but we can't, because none of those things hold. They're not the reason that there's a pay gap. It's the behaviours of employers. It's what's happening in our organisations. So that's where we need to focus our effort. we shouldn't stop ensuring that our Pacifica students achieve incredibly well, but we're going to have to do something in our workplaces to make sure that they're then treated and paid fairly.
In other countries or in companies that publish their pay gap numbers, are their gaps lower than in places where they don't publish these numbers?
Absolutely, yes. So, as many of your listeners will know, we are Mind the Gap's advocating for employers to have to publish their pay gaps, and that would be gender, Pacific and Māori. And I think really interesting, Pacifica woman and Māori woman as well, because you've got that intersectionality happening. When organisations publish their pay gaps, pay gaps drop, and they often drop very quickly, and not surprisingly, really. In the UK, they introduced their regime years ago, nearly a decade ago, and it is flawed. They only ask companies with 250 employees or bigger to report, so it's only the very large companies and perhaps misses a large amount of the workforce. But even then, they saw within a few years their national gender pay gap drop by about 20%. Now, that's a huge amount of pay adjustments happening in people's pockets. It's fantastic.
So when companies' pay gaps reduce after being required to report these pay gaps, is that because they genuinely want to do the right thing and close these gaps, or is it more because they're forced into a corner where they have to rectify their pay gaps or risk damaging their reputation? Like, obviously, either way, pay gaps are closed, and that's a good thing, but I'm just interested in the rationale behind it mostly.
Yeah, and we don't actually, I guess, know with the conversations that are happening around boardrooms and around management teams, and I'm sure it's a mixture of all those things. But what we do know is that most organisations won't have looked, right? And a lot of that is, this is what particularly happened with the European experience. The EU has just created a directive 2 months ago where every company in the EU has to do this. So it's huge. We're talking about global scale. And what they found initially when they started introducing it country by country was that employers would think they were fair. And that's that's because no one sets out. I don't think people are setting out in New Zealand to pay a Pacifica woman, 27% less. I don't think there's a campaign to do it. But what it does mean is all those unconscious biases and processes start playing out. All those little decisions play out and it creates a big mess. So what's happened internationally is that forcing employers to look was the most important thing. Because once you've done the systemic analysis, once you get over that kind of hump that, of course we treat everyone fairly here, why wouldn't we, we're good employers, and then realise that your numbers aren't good, that there's systemic gaps in your businesses around who's getting paid what, then most people do start operating. And whether that's out of, the sense of fairness, or whether that's out of we don't want to be caught with this big gap, I can't comment. It'd be interesting to perhaps engage some business leaders about how this approached it, but I doubt they're going to come on and say we're only closing our gaps because we don't want to look bad.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? We don't have that piece of information about motivation. And do you know what? In some ways, I don't really mind what the motivation is.
Just as long as it happens.
I want particularly our Pacifica workers to get the full paycheck, right?
Mm. So do you think that New Zealand workplaces need to be more open to the discussion of wages? Because I'm sure I'm not alone in the experience of working somewhere and having management tell my colleagues and I that we aren't allowed to discuss our wages. So would encouraging the open discussion of what people are getting paid also maybe help make these pay gaps smaller?
Absolutely. And that's half the reason that pay gaps happen, is that we don't have transparency over it. We can't really make good comparisons. We're not supposed to chat about our money. Interestingly, some states in the US of all places have banned, and there is a proposal in the Education and Workforce Select Committee, the report on pay transparency, that all clauses, all gagging clauses around pay conversations are banned. I mean, that's something that could happen here as well, which just means if you want to tell the person you're sitting next to how much you get paid, go for it. I mean, it's your information just as much as it's the businesses as well. So that will probably require a culture change, or it could require a legislative push, if that makes sense. So just banning any kind of clause that says you should not discuss your salary. And many people do have those sitting around in their employment contracts. So, yep, that could be a thing. And once we do get to share this information, it becomes powerful to us, right, to know if we are getting paid fairly, to know if we are at the tail end of a pay gap.
Yeah, and as we're in the midst of a cost of living crisis, is it imperative now more than ever that the government step in and mandate pay gap reporting?
Yeah, because, obviously everybody is feeling the pinch, but imagine all these families who are being pinched more because of discrimination. I mean, it really is the time to sort this out, because it really hurts the most now, and it seems the most unfair and unjust at the moment.
That was Mind the Gap founder Joe Cribb chatting to me about new data which shows the width of the pay gap between Pacifica and non-Pacifica. Mind the Gap also has a petition going asking the government to mandate pay gap reporting for businesses with over 50 staff. So if you're interested in signing that one, then that one will be up on our website alongside the BCast for this piece.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/BCasts.